changing things in the world. They're not even taking down Instagrams that are basically porn, but they're taking down people's Instagrams that are actually changing the narrative of how the world could be, you know? And I find that really interesting. And I had someone tell me one time, like you're doing something right if people are like trying to make you stop. Basically, especially the Matrix is trying to make you stop. It's like, okay, you must be onto something, mm-hmm. because they're like, oh no, she's too powerful, or she's saying something we don't want people to hear. So let's like, I literally felt like someone was putting their hand over my mouth, like, don't mm-hmm. talk anymore.
We always have the power within us. So we're all around the world following our excitement, finding these loopholes so I can get through here and to Netflix and there, and power to the people, reach everyone, connect everything. And this is how we beautifully storytelling transform the system, by finding all these loopholes, how to live outside the matrix, how to step in your power, and everyone brings their part of the puzzle, and together we unite and tell this beautiful story. So it's so beautiful how we're all doing that together, because the system wants to think that you're alone, that you come back in the system, live in the matrix and be a slave. But that's like an illusion. And if you start to see through that, stepping in your power, owning your unique puzzle piece, your human design, your life theme, however you want to call it, and unite synchronistically with your tribe, we're all coming together and shifting collectively in the new earth. Can I get a hello there?
That was amazing.
Hi, everyone. This is Ferdy back. Stealing Brittany Bond's intro.
Hi, everyone. This is Brittany Bond. Welcome back to the podcast.
How are you?
In today's episode, I'm just going to keep going.
Yeah, what's up in today's episode? We just hang out and we invite you to drop in your body. Let us together take a deep breath. And I ask you, how do you feel in your body? Everyone listening, and I ask you.
I feel really good in my body today. The neighbor's drilling or sawing metal is getting to me a little bit these days.
Mm-hmm.
For like many of the years that I've lived here in the space, it's been just quiet all around in the nature, and I feel very grateful for that. And now this is happening and I'm like, okay, respond positively.
And by the way, big compliment, recently, the last weeks, which feels like eternally, you have been so good at responding positively.
Mm-hmm.
Like many things that are happening in 3D, where the old Brittany would like, rawr,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Like have a meltdown, basically.
Yeah, like defense situation, like this morning. This was the usual Brittany I knew, and the new Brittany is like responding so positively. Mm-hmm. So, wow, good job.
Thank you, baby. How are you feeling in your body?
I feel really good. The last days I go to bed so early. Like yesterday evening, we wanted to do some nice magic with Sergey. Like he's really good at powerful at human design readings and tarot card readings. And they're like these cycles. Is it from a human design standpoint?
Yeah. I mean, it's also human design is based on astrology. So it's aligning up with your astrology. Yeah. But yeah, and your birthday and everything.
Yeah, my birthday is coming up, 9th, a portal day. And we probably do today, he channels my new cycle from my birthday on. Because he already did back then, but now that it's coming up, it's so nice to refresh it. Afro Bear wants to come in. Hello. So yeah, and yesterday we wanted to do it, but I was so tired and it was just 9 p.m. and I so love honoring my sleep. Like right now I'm not so much physically tired also, but my higher self, just me, you know, we're not our thoughts, we're not our bodies, we're all these indestructible souls. And my soul wants to go to spirit a lot because there are happening so many changes right now. And otherwise, it just doesn't feel good in my body. So that's why at 9 p.m. I was like, peace out. And I went to bed. So yeah, it feels so good sleeping a lot, because for me, and maybe you can relate, I mean, you can, but maybe the people listening, mm-hmm. I just wake up, which is around 7 a.m., kind of no matter when I go to bed. So I love going to bed early, and this feels really good. So I'm feeling really good in my body, and yeah, just life is so amazing.
And you had a nice walk with Afro and got cacao.
Yeah, did you see my Insta story?
Yeah, so cute.
How I put it on her head.
Yeah.
I found something shiny, and Afro and I were just having so much fun in the morning, going on our walks. And it's like, I invite you to start your day. It's like daylight, nature, breathing, and some sort of movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this morning when you went with Afro to the beach, I did yoga and breath work and meditation and rapé.
Would you turn off the fan?
Yeah.
It's like too much. Thank you. Yeah, so find your permission slips, and it's so nice first morning to connect to your higher self when you come out of spirit, instead of like starting to be caught up in something.
Like going on Instagram.
I mean, I do that too, but I follow the people that inspire me, you know?
Yeah, yes. But for a lot of people, they go on Instagram and then it brings up negative beliefs for them, or, you know?
Yeah.
Or just drama.
Yeah.
To do things that are empowering for you in the morning.
Yes. So why do you think what the universe wants to tell us is the neighbor situation and the noise? What's your intuition?
Well, it came in like for two of the years that I lived here, it was just a quiet Russian lady who was super nice and sweet. And we ended up inviting her to our family dinners and she came. It was really nice. And then I left the space and I came back and the fence is gone and the neighbors. I just feel like it's, you know, my energy wasn't here. Our energy wasn't here in the space. And also the only constant is change. So there's things changing. But I do feel that my higher self is like, here's something. Like, you know, when you upgrade, your higher self sometimes gives you situations to help you see if those beliefs are really, if they're really like let go of. Like I had this belief in the past that home wasn't a place that I could recharge, and like because growing up it really wasn't. It was like not necessarily a safe emotional or physical space. My dad was very abusive, and so I spent a lot of my adulthood like running away from my homes that I made. This is also why I traveled so much, like for 10 years, just constant travel. And when I was at home, I wasn't necessarily resting. Like I was actually resting more when I was away because I had this feeling of perceived safety. And now that we're here, you know, Yojin's always saying, don't claim.
And what is perceived safety? Perceived?
Perceived is like
perceived.
On the surface, you know, I was safe because I had this belief that I was actually safer away from home. And now I'm shifting that belief to I choose to recharge. Home is a place that's quiet in nature. I feel so good. The people that we rent from or own the land from, like, they are amazing, supportive, family vibes. And I feel like my higher self is like, okay. Because our beliefs are first, and then our external reality is created from those beliefs. So I feel like my higher self is like, is this really a belief? Are you suddenly in? And so although, you know, we put a long-term lease on the place, we're remodeling it and all this stuff, like I'm still very unattached to, it needs to be this physical space, but the energy of home is here. And I think we both really feel that. And I'm like, you know, in the past, I would get angry at them. And then I would send a lot of, like, without realizing, a lot of negative energy towards the situation, which only amplifies it. And now I'm like, in the morning, like sending them love and like imagining like the energy field of our home, like spreading out to over there, over them, and like enveloping them in this love of our home energy. And I think I said in a past broadcast, maybe that, or I said it somewhere that like, we had some clothes here that needed to be donated, like some kids' clothes. And I ended up bringing them over there to them because they have a bunch of kids and they really liked that. And then like we need to borrow a tool because the shower head broke and you went over there and borrowed a tool from them. So it feels like, okay, we're like bringing them into like the neighbor tribe vibe. But we also asked the landlord about it, and she's saying that she might like take, like buy the land all around us because it's not actually owned by her. And if so, then we could have some of our friends rent the house. So I'm also manifesting that, you know, maybe Carl and Eve live there one day or the tribe continues and expands out around us. What do you think it means?
Yeah, you're spot on. Like how Bashar likes to say it, believing is seeing that you have changed, not when the outside reality has changed, but when you respond differently to the same circumstances. Then you know you have changed, and then the outside can reflect it. But the change needs to happen first internally. And what you described was this beautiful shift that you have changed it internally. And same for me, like yesterday when I fall asleep and this morning waking up, I was just playing with my imagination. What excites me that like there's this protective energy field around where only quietness and positive energy can get through. Because I know the universe wants us to be here and create, and everything is there for a reason. Everything.
I was just saying like in this moment.
Yeah, exactly. We're not attached in this moment. But in this moment, it's like really strong. The universe is like, hey, we want you here. And everything is our creation. So I don't know the reason yet why this is happening. But then just like I play with my imagination, like how this could shift, and like responding with love and not wishing it to go away. It's like there's something wrong. But like, okay, what can I learn? And when I get like red light synchronicity of the noises bothering me, that like, okay, what should I go to a place now? Should I talk to them? Should I go through all the possibilities? Because when I look back on my life, it's all this perfect synchronicity. Like in my apartment in Berlin, they were trilling above me so loud that the spices were falling off my kitchen and breaking because everything was vibrating, and I just like had to leave. And then I spent 3 magical months in our vacation house in Austria in deep nature and like really embodied me, you know?
That's beautiful.
So it was like red light synchronicity, which is like everything is like here for you. Like, Ferdi, time to go out of Berlin. You don't get it. So we make it really clear that everything is shaking. So you gotta go.
I find it ironic that in the moment that we're talking about this, they stopped the noise.
Yeah. The universe like, don't you get it? We're like, yep, we're listening. So being savages, we keep you up to date. What's going to happen? And it's just all going to work out best case scenario, because really believing is seeing. Like, we are that powerful, we are the master creators, we can choose. Mm-hmm. And we choose a timeline that is rich in abundance and peace and harmony. So it's a transformational age, and we're going to transform that in something really juicy, an extension. And the vanilla play party goes from here to there, and we have a hot tub and a trampoline and a sauna and a mini ramp and a UFO landing platform
and a fruit forest and a garden,
And a ball pit, you know, where like all these balls and you can jump in, like these little
ball pit, babe.
These are my things.
Yeah, I'm like, I want a natural water pool, like a saltwater pool, and lots of plants and like lots of food coming from our earth.
Mm-hmm. You want to tell this? This was so beautiful how you told me that about the Anastasia book, this relationship when you like planted with your own hands. Would you tell that?
Yeah, there's this book that came into our life from our friend Yujun, and it's called Anastasia, the Ringing Cedars, I think. It's a 10-part series, and it's this real woman in Russia, in like they call it the taiga. It's like the deep forest of Russia. And she is like a Vedic yogi in the sense of like she has like actual magical powers. And like she is so connected to the earth and like her vision. So this book originally came. So this guy went into the forest and found her, and then she like gave him all this information and said to him, you need to write a book because I want the world to know about this, and also I want my vision to be out in the world. So the first series of the book came out in like the early 90s, and if you want a copy of it, just message us on Instagram and I'll send it. It's like free on online. You can get the PDF. But the her vision is literally the same vision that I have, and that many people are getting the download for now, like, you know, 30 years later, many people are catching up to this, is to have farms, like, and eco-villages, and us all living together. And, like, she calls them homesteads, and we call it, like, the farmhouse, where it's, like, we're all living in nature, nearby each other, we're growing our own food and everything. But she says that the biggest way that we can connect to our higher selves and source energy is to create a relationship with nature. And so she's, like, you know, talking about having your own garden, the easiest way to start this relationship. So if you live in a city, get a plant, like, and give it energy every single day, like, speak to it, like, water it, like, pretend like it is your child, like create this energetic relationship with it. And this is how I've always been with plants. I'm always like, I want like 100 plants. I want to feel like I live inside a jungle, inside my house. And then she's like, and then the next step is like having your own home garden and like growing as much organic food as you can. And like literally putting your hands in the dirt, because when you have food that you're growing, oh, it's so beautiful. It's
this,
like,
this is the part I love. Tell yeah. it.
Okay. So I get like goosebumps when I'm thinking about this. Is she says that like nature, all nature wants is to serve us and like make us happy. It's like Mother Earth is here to provide for us. And like, it's a real energy connection that we have with it. And when you grow food, like when you put the seed, she has specific things to do, like to connect to the earth and to put your energy in with the nature so that it can help you. But she was saying that like you plant the seed in the ground with your own hands, and the plants take in like the toxins that are in your hands when you're actually like working with the plants in the ground, and they create the nutrients that you need in order to heal anything that's in your body. And so imagine like the symbiotic relationship that you have with nature, where you're like, you're out there, you're giving good energy to the plants and you're like working with them, and it's like literally taking it's taking in, like, from a scientific perspective, it's like running like a diagnostic on what you need in your body. And then the plant is growing the nutrients specifically for your body and for your, so if you're in a network with your family, then you want everyone to be putting their hands in the dirt together. And then it's like growing food for your whole family. And so she's saying how we have completely disconnected ourselves from the earth, because most of the food that we eat today is made by, or is farmed by, machines. And so the plants are not getting the information that they need. And also they're really sad because they're like not having this connection with humans. And like, this is the symbiotic relationship that we have with nature and with the earth. And it just wants our love and our attention and energy. Mm. And then it gives us everything we need. And so it's like one step better if you are working with like organic farmers who are like actually putting their hands in the dirt. But it's interesting because they are selling their food to you, and the food is made for the farmers. Like the food is like made to help whatever the farmer needs nutritionally, but then you're eating it. So basically, as close as we can get to our hands in the dirt when it comes to the food that we're eating, the better. And I think a lot of people are subconsciously, like our higher selves are downloading this information to us. This is why like so many of my friends are like, I just want to have a fruit forest. I want to have, you know, our own farm. I want us all like as a village to go in on something together. And I have friends on the island who have bought very big pieces of land for this specific reason. And they're like, and like during lockdown, we had a community garden here, which was very big. Like it was like a lot of people came together on the island and they were like, okay, we live on an island. When we can't get food from Bangkok, like from the outside shipped to us every day, which a lot of food on the island is coming externally, especially like kiwis coming from New Zealand, like, you know, like a lot of these things that we naturally wouldn't be eating here. So they came together and they made a community garden, and like a lot of us were there like every day. They had volunteers and people were putting their hands in the dirt, you know, and it was so beautiful. Mm. But then like the world opened, tourism came, marijuana became legal, and now that community garden is a weed farm. But the idea is there, and there's enough people on the island who are like in on it. And so now privately, a lot of our friends have gone in on together on land, and I have spent many years on this island, like looking at big pieces of land, because many of my friends wanted to go in on a piece of land together and like grow our own eco village and grow our own food. And like, this was the vision. And it's so funny. I love how synchronistic everything is, that this is the same vision that she had downloaded in this book 30 years ago. So put your hands in the dirt. This is the thing. And get some plants, some plant babies.
Yes, I loved it. I just thought about a meme I posted, something like, for other people go to the mall, I put my hands in the mud. Something like that. And I don't remember exactly. But yeah, baby, this was so beautiful. And you know, we're like all getting, it's like all connected. Mm-hmm. And it's like the circle of life, the Fibonacci sequence, or what it's called. The golden ratio, synchronicity, like it's all the same, you know. Mm-hmm. And how what it just came to me, like the quote-unquote order of all this is like, it always starts within yourself, like being good within yourself, loving yourself, and balancing the divine masculine and feminine in you, and then living that way externally, like, yeah, help others, put your hands in the soil, connect to nature, be kind, be loving, be the change you wish to see. And then extend that to friends and family, and then to a romantic or multiple romantic relationships.
Multiple romantic relationships.
Or like step by step, you know? And like what we do, you know? Like the divine feminine and the divine masculine being good in each other, coming together. And then out of abundance, and then co-creating that together, like together we get plans and we want to grow things around the house and we make this house like we do it together. And then, you know, from individual to partners to family to tribe to state to country, and this all goes like hand in hand. And if someone is listening and they want all that, like, take your finger and put it on your own nose, as we say in German, like starting within yourself.
What do you say in German for that?
Sich an die eigene Nase fassen or something like that.
It means like look at yourself first.
Yeah. Like often we point at other things that are wrong, but then it's like, if we want all of that, then like we gotta like start facing our shit, doing the inner work, and then expand from that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I loved how you said that, something like that. Plants and fruits, like all they want is like to serve us and make mm-hmm. us happy and healthy, and they like want that connection that mm-hmm. we're like this nice cycle. And I want it so much. I like, you know, so many, like all these things come so natural to us. Mm-hmm. And then we're living in this disembodied, unsafe world where it's like, what is plastic, like what are unripe fruits, and why is this like all. And it's so exciting now how we kick it all in alignment by our actions. Mm-hmm. And then it, again, believing is seeing, it's reflected in the outside. So if you see a piece of trash, pick it up. If you see a situation, be kind, be helpful, like be that vibration. Mm-hmm. And then it's all reflected in the outside. You're not gonna save the world, hurrying, stressing. No, you gotta be the change. And then you see those reflections in the outside. So that's why every day I wake up and like, today at the beach, I make the dogs friends. Mm-hmm. And like I smile at people, like all, and not because of the outcome, no, because this is what I prefer, this state of being. Mm-hmm. And also knowing it goes hand in hand, then we shift in that reality. And since I really know that, like shifted into the knowingness of that, like really know that, everything became so chill. Like before I was like so eager to save the world and doing all these things and da 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 da, and now I'm just like so chill because I understand shifting and the mechanism.
Yeah, we do less and be more.
The paradox.
Yeah, because when we be more, then we are not creating as much shit that we need to clean up later, you know? Because yeah. I remember when I was like on the island during lockdown, and like even afterwards, I was like, we need to, like, I've always had this download that I was going to do something so big in the world, like so big. And
same.
Yeah.
And we are.
And we are, but just by being ourselves. In the past, I thought I needed to be something in the 3D that I accomplish, but I was pushing it because it wasn't time yet, you know? This is something my friend Daria said to me. She was like, every time I see you go to the island, you have such a high vibration and you go there like with all of these ideas, like, I already see the new earth. I know what we can do. Here's some events. Let's do that. But she's like, the island is not... In the past, the island was not ready for it. And so then I was like pushing a lot and people were just not in the place where they wanted to partner on that because they needed to go through their own work. They needed to grow. They, you know, and I need to let them have their process. But I was also, I needed to do my own work, you know, and this was the thing was that I think I had this belief that me creating this huge thing on the outside was doing the work on the inside, but it's not. Like, I have to do the work first and become who I want to be in order to receive all of those beautiful things that I can see in my visions. And it's just, it's like a lot less tiring. Like, energetically, I feel a lot more happy, you know?
And it's like the knowingness of, like, picture what you want to see in the outside and then be dead, mm-hmm. and then you will see it in the outside. And I want it chill. I want it feel good in my body. I want mm-hmm. it juicy. I want it pleasurable. Mm-hmm. I want it step by step. I want it together. I want that we're having so much fun. I want mm-hmm. this frequency of these moments that you never want to end. Mm-hmm. Like yesterday, we went to the aesthetic dance, and it's like a mini prototype of the new earth vibration. Like, yeah. Everyone comes there and they're there to have fun, and they're like, no trucks, and it's chill music, and it's like everything is so inviting in nature to just like launch around to be mm-hmm. to be yourself. And then it, like, the environment invites you to be yourself, and then you can make out of it what you want. And we are our inner child, ourselves, and we played so much and had amazing connections, mm-hmm. and we chanted with Dan in the dome,
sound temple,
and it was like I was so high, like I really understand music now more and more, how it's like sinking in my body. I'm not in my head, and I can feel the music, and I'm feeling so high on everything. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, wow, this is how it can be.
Yeah, it feels like MDMA, but you're sober. Mm-hmm. And that's how music is for me. Like, if you know me very well, you know that I am so sensitive to sound. Like, even in places where most people can sleep very soundly, I have to wear earplugs because it's like I have like bionic hearing. And also, when I'm in a room with like multiple conversations going on, I heard this is a woman's thing, but I don't know if this is true. But I can understand and process all of the conversations happening at once around me. And this is like just a lot of information coming in. And what I'm working on right now is being able to create more energetic barriers so that I can be in my bubble and be happy, because sometimes it can be very overwhelming. But when we're in a space where the sound is so nice, like yesterday, it was a DJ that doesn't play normally. And he was playing like really deep African beats that were like very primal with like very beautiful, clean, ethereal music overlaid. And there was a couple of moments where I almost started crying because I was like, wow, this is so beautiful. And you can, and I always like go in the back of the ecstatic dance kind of near the DJ and just like, I love to watch how the music is affecting people. And you can see where like sometimes people are like, you know, this is not the normal easy thing to dance to. Like, they have to really allow their body to take over, but then they get into it and you can see like tons of like emotional release happening. And we even said, like, a bunch of our friends yesterday, we talked to them afterwards and they were like, whoa, I was like really moving stuff through my body. And I think for me, that's so beautiful that we have these spaces, you know?
And this beauty of the more of us get together, the more it gets amplified. Mm-hmm. And the first time I was on the island 2 years ago, they were like the first aesthetic dances where I really experienced that, when like they're like, I don't know, a couple hundred people on the same frequency. And it's like they're so feeling it and it's like so amplified. Like how Bashar said in one of the last transmissions at a Taylor Swift concert, there was like a 2.2 earthquake because they were such in a high frequency, and it's like amplified the more of us get together.
I actually looked that up the other morning. I like woke up and I was like, because I remember I had clocked it that I wanted to research it. And apparently in that same space in Seattle, there was a football game that had happened like a couple years before where there... like someone did a touchdown and they did the crowd cheered and it created the same seismic earthquake basically. So I think there's something there in that specific location where the earth is more sensitive. But yeah, the idea behind it is like they had gotten on such a high frequency together that the earth responds to this, you know, and it like created, like it literally vibrated the earth.
Stay tuned. 9th. Portal Day, my birthday, synchronistically also the new Bashar event, live, the meeting in Sedona, and our friend Eugene is going there, and I have like an intuition something big is going to happen.
I also wanted to say that the ecstatic dances here on the island, I feel like it's a very unique frequency of people and also the place here. Like everything on the island is very amplified. The energy here is already very high. And we're on an island, so we're like very outside the matrix. We're not connected literally, physically to anything. Because I've had a lot of friends come through that are ecstatic dance DJs like in San Francisco or in Europe somewhere. And then I bring them to the ecstatic dance here on Sundays, which is like... there's someone at the door.
And we're back. If you're watching visually, we got an upgrade. We have two shelves.
I was saying that I have friends who, you know, been ecstatic dance DJs around the world, and I brought them to the ecstatic dance here on the island, which like on Sunday is like kind of a mini festival. It goes from like 11 to 3, and there's like food, like a market, places to hang out.
And sugar cane sugar juice.
Yeah, coconuts, everything. And the music goes from like 11 to 2, but like people stay for like an hour or two afterwards even. And they came into the ecstatic dance and they saw the vibration of all of us together. And I had one friend just start crying, and he like is like this big burly man, you know, who like loves drum and bass and like, but it also plays, is a major DJ in the San Francisco ecstatic dance scene. And he's like, I never really understood ecstatic dance. Like I never danced in it until today. Like this is the first time I really, he felt safe to like drop in. And also he was like, I think I finally get it. And for me, that's so beautiful that we can hold the space here, you know. And the more of us, like our friend group that comes also, that are on like a specific frequency and connected, and we're like bouncing this energy back and forth, the more powerful it is. I know, like when all my girlfriends are on the island during high season, I'll just like bring them all, because they're all a little shy, you know, and they're like, they love dancing, but I bring them into the middle of the circle and we like all dance together, and it's so beautiful. I love it.
And if you're listening, you don't need to come to Koh Phangan to experience that. It's like just bringing people together in a park, doing a meetup. The meetups in Berlin, they got so high. Shout outs to Eve. She organized one yesterday. I saw some stories, and it's so beautiful when we just come together on like vibration, on positive vibrations, and just co-create, connect, and be in that energy and amplify it and bounce it back. It gets so high. It's so amazing.
Yeah, it's like psychedelics, but you're sober.
Yeah.
Like everyone kept saying yesterday, we feel like we're high, but we didn't take anything.
Yeah, beautifully said.
There was another thing I wanted to say. Oh yeah, like one of my favorite ecstatic dances that we did was like at the first retreat I came to of yours in Austria. And a friend, one of the guys that was on the retreat, he does ecstatic dances, and he was like a little shy, but he wanted to DJ. And I was like, let's just do one. We did it in the living room, and there was like 20 of us, and we just had so much fun, you know, like because It's this specific vibration of we can all completely be ourselves and drop in and just be silly and goofy and have fun. And when you're doing that and dancing, you're like allowing like stuck energy to move through your body. So I think those are like the key points. If you want to bring people together, don't have to come to Koh Phangan. It is really fun if you come here. But just get people together and create this vibration of we're all in this together and let's just be our complete inner children, like allowing them to play, you know?
Play, yay. Like yesterday, it made me so happy that there were people ordering this Burmese salad for their kids, I think, and not eating it. And then I always, like when someone is not eating their food, I eat it, like only if I'm hungry. But yesterday, perfect synchronicity, I was super hungry and I was so yummy and feeling so high and then like fully in the presence, enjoying it. And you look around and it's so, you know, like this feeling, you know, for example, in Berlin, I look around and it's like so much concrete and so many people who don't take care of their body, who don't follow the highest excitement, mm-hmm. who are like in a lot of pain and suffering. And it's like sad. And or you want to look at your phone, you don't want to look at them. And like all the things we create, like unsafe spaces. But there, people in the hammocks, all the nature, people dropping in, people smiling, dogs, families, babies. And it's like I'm eating and I like, yeah, I don't want to tune anything out. I want to like tune everything in and I feel safe here. And it's like calm for my nervous system. And it's like, it's such, like you just want to be in the here and now. That's all we're looking for. That's all we want, mm-hmm. the here and now, this eternal here and now. And creating it that it's actually a here and now that we want to be.
That feels good in our bodies, yeah. One thing I wanted to say to you that I was listening to the Atlantis Bashar transmission.
Ooh.
This morning. And they're talking about how, like, in the Atlantean times, they locked a lot of the information that we're going to unlock in this our age today in like pyramids and like different burial sites, and it's been there buried for, you know, 13,000 years. And he was like, I will not tell you how to unlock it. And she's like, can you give us a hint? Like Nanya is asking a question. And he said, the only thing I will say to you is that the way to unlock it is a certain vibration from music. And I just like my whole body started vibrating when I heard that. I was like getting goosebumps and stuff. Because for me, I'm like, I've always felt like there has to be a reason why I am so sensitive in my hearing. But it's also this beautiful translation that when the music is good or the vibration is good, it just brings me to my knees sometimes because I want to cry and I can really pinpoint specific vibrations within a song. And so I was like in my imagination this morning, like, unlocking the Atlantean things and like being like, no, I hear it. No, this is the vibration. Okay, we need to make the music like this. Like I see myself as like the director of the people playing the music and just being like, it needs to be a little bit more like this. Okay, this and this. And then we like play it at the pyramids and then it's like, poof, the doors open.
Maybe three words. Drumming, water, and the heart.
Heart?
Yeah. Like the heart vibration.
Uh-huh.
Like, also what I listened to Bashar synchronistically was exactly about that, like the drummingness of the heart, you know, the Atlantean times, the golden age, and now that we're like coming in the new golden age, which is even more amplified because the Fibonacci sequence is like, now it's even bigger, like our wildest imaginations time 10, and it's like, I don't quite remember what he said, but it was also his music and drumming and the water vibration and like from the heart frequency.
Oh, I think I remember that one. He was saying to put water in the middle and have people drum around it. And then like they're putting the energy into the water and you drink it.
Yeah.
And then like.
But today something else. It's like you can go to Higher Mind on Spotify. It's one of the latest uploads. It's called The Last Days of Atlantis, or Atlantis, The Final Days.
Mm-hmm.
And there he talks
about it again.
Yeah, okay, about drumming and the heart frequency. This is me, my future self, a little cut in. I so butcher this part where, you know, Bashar talks about the drumming and the heart because I haven't fully listened to it yet. And now after the podcast, I finished at Bashar event, like him talking about it. And I put this cut out where he talks about it at the end. So at the very end of the podcast, listen for yourself. And it's a cutout from the event called Atlantis, The Final Days. It's on Higher Mind on Spotify.
And again, like if you want to be caught up with the Atlantean stuff, I highly recommend reading the comment I post underneath this YouTube video about the Atlantean stuff that was channeled from someone. I put the credits there as well. And also going to Spotify to Higher Mind and listening to Atlantis, The Final Days, and the other event is just called Atlantis. They are uploaded after one another, so you will easily find them. Check it out, catch up, and yeah, send us an Instagram DM about your Atlantean downloads, remembering your timeline there, and let's come all together.
So something there connected. It's like so fun because we've listened to these recordings before, mm-hmm. and now we found this other like really amazing transmission of someone channeling like an Atlantean person.
I think I'm gonna type it out, like copy and paste it in under this YouTube video in a mm-hmm. comment, mm-hmm. and I highly recommend to copy and paste it in your notes or read it under the YouTube video. It's so activating. So activating. Oh
yeah,
my God.
I feel really called to record it too and put it somewhere.
Yeah, like I think.
Because it's very long when you read it, but if you listen to it, you're like, whoa.
How about one of the next podcasts? Mm-hmm. We just talk about it mm-hmm. and then at the end of the podcast, you just read it.
Because mm-hmm. yes, I would be happy to do that because there's, it's like, you know, everything happens in perfect synchronicity. And I got my hands on this channeling and I was reading it and I was like, literally things were unlocking in my body. I was like, whoa.
While we were making love and then during this love making, I was like, whoa.
I was reading it to you when we were making love.
Yeah, like,
so
I mean.
So funny how we are.
I was like.
Well, I was in the middle of reading it and you came in. And I was like, I'm going to keep reading this.
Yeah.
So. We read that, and then I'm re-listening to the Atlantean stuff, like that from Higher, like that Bashar, that's on Higher Mind that Bashar is sharing, and it's like the same thing but a different piece of the puzzle. So now I feel like I kind of like this written channeling thing of this person, it feels like it lays the whole foundation of like how the whole timeline is playing out. And then listening to Bashar after that, when he talks about Atlantean times, I'm like starting to understand what he's saying. So he's like saying very specific pieces of the puzzle. But if you don't have the bigger picture, you're like, okay, yeah, what is he saying? But now I'm like, oh, that's mm-hmm. what he means. Like, oh, and there's some reason why we are feeling more called to, you know, research the Atlantean stuff right now. Like this, there's something happening right now in the timeline. Mm-hmm. Cause like right now, both of you and I feel so called. We're talking about it all the time and like rereading these things and feeling activated by them. And
so being said, just listen carefully. I think the next podcast and probably the next three podcasts, because it's three parts, you read it and then we talk about it. And then we do like all three of them, mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm so excited to share our downloads. And it's like we all remember the golden age and co-create now the new golden age. So, baby, this is so wow. Thanks. Mm-hmm. And for people, if they also want this amazing synchronicity where we found it, there's this Bashar Facebook group that has like 50,000 members. Join it and just... There's such woke people in there sharing amazing information mm-hmm. and just like check yeah. it.
And everyone in there is just so eager to learn. It's like yeah. a really safe space.
And like not this disclaimer stuff anymore, but just straight channeling. Like, hey, I channeled that. I channeled mm-hmm. that. Here's a link to that. What does Bashar, what do those say about this? And it's just like, whoa.
Yeah, and I like it that it's not just Bashar stuff.
Yeah.
It's like everything. It's the universal message.
Yeah, everyone is channeling.
Yeah.
So, and we're like over this explaining what channeling is and disclaimers. No, full on channeling mode activated, mm-hmm. not holding back. Mm-hmm. Who's showing up? Who's hearing the call? Who's there early? Let's come together in all these tribes around the world and be that vibration first to lead the world and showing it's safe and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening now. So if you feel it, then pick up the phone.
What phone?
Yeah, you know, the call to sound poetic.
Pick up the phone.
Like in my Insta story. Did you read it?
Pick up the phone.
Of like the call, you know, some of us
yeah,
wake
yeah.
up early.
I've heard that quote before.
Watch my Insta stories. They're so activating. Kind of want to read it. And we're back. We're really undercapped, we realized. So the last, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes of us talking were our undercapped versions. And then we paused because we follow our highest excitement. Our highest excitement was not to continue, but also not to end it. So our excitement was to pause and eat fruits. And I made a smoothie bowl and I put in brown rice cakes and peanut butter. And now I'm like carved up and ready to chill.
Carved up and ready to lay back on my beanbag.
Yeah. And we talked about all the beautiful entities that come visit us here in the collective.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited for Sergey to help us energetically clear the house. It's amazing when you have a magician live with you.
For me, it also already feels so clean. Like the first nights were challenging. And then the peak was like when Eugene was here. And I got literally poked by an entity and stroked.
And stroked, poked and stroked.
Yeah, poked to wake me up and then stroked to like, hey, I'm nice.
Did it feel good in your body?
Poking, no. Stroking, also like, what
where
the fuck?
On your body did they stroke you?
On my shoulder.
Okay.
And yeah, as I just said, like every night to the left, I feel this feminine energy. And then I think, is it you? But it feels like in the room right next to my bed. And what comes to me is like blue fire, you know, like I feel so connected to her. And actually Eugene in the new Bashar transmission, Parallel Realities and You, I just started listening. And there he asked questions about blue fire, the entity Eugene, our friend, is channeling. And
Bashar talks about blue fire?
Eugene asked about blue fire and Bashar, yeah, talks about
His question got into the transmission. Exactly. Nice.
And that she is also a shapeshifter. And that I just feel so connected to this energy of blue fire.
Mm-hmm.
And this might be what I'm shape-shifting, what I'm tapping into, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like this multidimensional Kachina spirit. And it's not like, quote-unquote, belongs to Eugene. It's like in our family. And it feels like we can all tap into it. And I feel a strong connection, so I can, and then it's like why always in the night, like I'm so tired, I just want to.
Didn't you, Jen, say that that's because our frequency is the highest at night?
Exactly, because we
allow our higher self to take over, not our physical mind.
Our physical mind is shut off, and then boom, our frequency is so high.
What do you feel that this entity is trying to tell you?
It's like remembering me, making me remember more and more, like I can tap into so many other timelines, and synchronistically, the new Bashar event is all about that, that the here and now, that's all there is. It's this timeless moment and this dimensional point called here, called now, and all other parallel timelines, realities are all happening now, and we can tap into it more and more in a safe way.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's safe to remember more and more, because if you remember, you cannot unremember. And but then you know, it's like so DMT like that I come out and it was there, but then vaguely, and then lately so many deja vus. Like yesterday we were at Sand Beach and I was in the water and I had such a big deja vu because my night before in a dream I was there.
Beautiful.
I mean, this one wasn't so nice because there in the dream I smoked weed and I was like losing reality, so it showed me like fairly don't take substances, and I'm like, I got it. So yeah. And then I was happy yesterday that the sun went down, because it was for a good moment, it was like so dreamlike, so DMT like reality looking, and I'm like, does the sun go down? It's already supposed to be down. And I was still like in this timeless
state. I think
state.
It was reflecting off the clouds.
Yeah.
It was really beautiful yesterday. I was just went in the water and was just like staring at the clouds.
It was so dreamy.
I loved it.
All right. Little side tangent. We wanted to talk about Instagram. Do you feel excited to talk about it?
Yes.
The censorship that is going on and how you shapeshift in that dragon and gonna rawr.
I got suspended on Instagram twice. within a couple days. Reasons unknown. I mean, they told me that they just give you this like bland thing saying you have gone against community guidelines. Like, I just woke up to this and it said something about sharing sexuality, but I haven't shared anything on Instagram that is explicit, or I haven't really even talked about anything sexuality except for like the play parties, but blah, 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 blah. But the sequence of events is I announced this podcast about almost breaking up with you. I feel like that got a lot of attention, like online. A lot of people were messaging me about it. Like, so a lot of eyes were on my Instagram. And I even made a post, so I had a clip of it, which is like one of the first times I made posts of my podcast on Instagram. And then like 2 days later, my Instagram suspended.
What was in the clip? Like, what were you talking about?
I wasn't talking about sex. I was talking about you being okay with me being fully in my power.
Mm.
So it wasn't about sexuality. Actually, we can re-look at it because I shared it also on my Facebook. So now I want to go back and look at that. But I don't think I was talking about sexuality. And then I have a remote collective Instagram, which has like 2,500 followers. That was for the community space. And you were like, you should post on there. I'll let people know that's there. And the thing that I need to say is like, after I got suspended, I think this happens to a lot of women. Like, when you are finally okay with being fully in your power and letting people see you in your power, it's a very vulnerable thing because we have so much programming around being soft and submissive and like not rocking the boat, basically. Just doing things that are like everyone's accepting. And so when you go against that, like from the Matrix perspective of like what mainstream is preaching, it's like, you know, like I felt some, they call it emotional hangover, where you like do something really brave and courageous. And then like the next couple of days, you kind of want to hide because you're like, whew, I really put myself out there. And I was getting such good feedback from.
What do they call it?
Emotional hangover.
Wow.
And it's true. It's a real thing, like where you feel like, ooh, I'm like, I put myself out there a lot. Or say you like had a really big conversation.
Speak a little more quiet.
Oh, sorry.
I thought I never would say that to you, but I get it, like making noise out here, but it's like the microphone really only picks up.
Okay, is this good?
Yeah, just, you know,
I think
voice.
This subject is also like really emotionally charged for me. Maybe. So
let's take a deep breath. You're doing great. It's, I know how challenging it is when you don't have the headphones in because you think the surrounding is so loud.
You always want to be in control with the headphones.
But because you are better at this. But if you want, I can try. You want
to? No, it's okay.
Okay, no,
is this okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's perfect.
Yeah, also like Sergey was making coffee and I was just like, I'm so sensitive to the sound around.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm going to ask him.
Sergey, will you do me a favor and close that because the chicken noise is making me crazy? Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. I think when the surrounding area is more quiet, it's easier for me to be.
Maybe drop in your divine feminine.
Well, this divine feminine version of me wants to go punch someone in the face. That's how I feel right now about the Instagram thing. Not you. You looked a little scared for a second. But I'm just saying, so when I shared that, I remember even in the podcast we talked about, like that episode about me almost breaking up with you. I remember saying to you, like, I don't know how you were going to respond to that podcast. And then I was still thinking, okay, I really want to share this still. Like, no matter what Faraday responds, it feels part of my growth. And like, I really feel like the world needs to hear this transmission. Because I could feel how powerful it was. Like, I was really channeling. And I got a lot of really amazing feedback. And I also got a lot of negative feedback from it, from men who didn't get it or people who, you know, wanted to get in your pants and are like, leave her for me, you know, like this whole thing. And I was just like, yeah, whatever. That's always there, the polarity. And I was okay with it. I accepted it. And then when my Instagram got taken down, like I have shared way more like sexual controversial things in the past, like sexy photos or whatever, nothing, you know? And then this is like, I post a podcast and I'm not saying it's, I don't know because they're not responding to me. I appealed it right away. And this is like now almost a week ago. and I just kind of shut down. Like, I was like, you were like, post on the Remote Collective, make that your page, and then I'll share and we can keep posting. And I just like didn't want to share. I was like, okay, I'm just going to go internal. And I just didn't share anything like online. And we made like the Rape video, and that was nice because we did it together and it was fun and everything. But I just was like, I was kind of like, fuck you to the mainstream. Because I was like, I think there was a part of me that kept myself below the radar before, because then I could just shine as myself. Mm. And now like mainstream, and even when you and I first got together and like mainstream was really paying more attention to me, and like when the whole Julian thing happened, and like I got a lot of like negative mainstream attention of just people being like, she's ugly, or she looks older than him, or like whatever, mm-hmm. you know, just picking at anything like they could. And I understood that that was their reflection, but it still was hard to go through, you know, like it wasn't like I was like excited about it. Like, I think sometimes you get excited about negative, not like, because you can, I think you've gone through the social media game for a lot longer than me.
I see the potential of how I can transform. Use this to help a lot of people, yeah. without, and I know how it doesn't affect me by, okay, I don't look at this. Mm-hmm. I post and drop, you know, what I learned mm-hmm. from Joe Rogan.
Mm-hmm. And so I've learned that. It's kind of like the universe is like, are you ready to be seen on a bigger level? Are you ready to be seen? Are you ready to be seen as like your real self? And recently, because of things that happened in our relationship that I shared in that podcast, and also just a lot of things lining up where I let go, I released a lot of negative beliefs about home, about who I wanted to be in this timeline, and what does it mean to make impact for me, and like realizing I could just be myself. Mm. You know, I don't need to change the world. I don't need to change like toxic masculinity. I don't need to save every single woman that comes to me and wants help. I just be myself. And I just vibe, and I have the best time.
And back to what we said earlier, change yourself, yeah. you change the world.
Yes. But it was, for me, when something happens where I have a strong emotional response, it usually takes me about 2 or 3 days for me to understand what that emotional response is. I remember even pulling a tarot on like, just how am I doing right now vibrationally? And it was like, you're experiencing a lot of grief and like loss. And I was like, what? Because during those days after when I got suspended, I was just vibing. Like, I was like responding positively. I still know that I'm going to get my Instagram back, but I wasn't really allowing myself to consciously process it, because I pay attention to social media enough to understand that like it's a lot. I mean, I'm sure men also get suspended, but it's a lot of women getting suspended their Instagram accounts because they are sharing about being empowered in their sexuality and like doing really good work about trying to educate the masses about like helping women be more empowered in themselves and educating like on like safe sexuality and connecting to your body and all these things. And I find it really funny that those are the accounts that get suspended. And then there's like so much on Instagram of like porn type of things and like kind of like things that are not empowering for women that are still on there. Like friends have sent us accounts recently because you reached out on mm-hmm. Instagram asking for help. And some of your friends were sending accounts that have like hundreds of thousands of followers.
Millions.
And they're like basically naked on there and being like really like very, it felt very porn like, you know, mm-hmm. like the mainstream porn industry. And so I was kind of like, what the fuck, you know? And I know that everything happens for a reason. And like a lot of my girlfriends are reaching out just being like, this is not okay. Like, you're such an empowering force for women. And like now you're being cut off. So then I thought, okay, I'll post on Remote Collective, maybe the universe, like the Remote Collective followers are like people when I was doing remote work consulting and like community space building and stuff. So I changed my profile picture and then I changed the description to say like Brittany Bond backup. And like literally 3 hours later, that account got suspended. I hadn't posted anything new. I shared one Insta story of Afro and that was it. And it was like, your Instagram has been suspended for like going against community guidelines about sharing about sex.
What was Afro naked? did you post a naked dog? Baby, outrageous.
I know.
Suspended for the next 10 timelines. I have spoken.
Yeah, and the only thing I can think is like both those accounts were attached to the same email, and then I used the same profile picture that's on my podcast, which is like me with my eyes closed and like I have my nipples like phased out, like painted out, you know? But again, people are sharing way crazier sexual things online. Like, I'm not. And also, I was verified before this, and they went through my account and approved it, that it could be verified and that the profile picture was okay and everything. So I find that to be really interesting. And then I was just kind of like pissed off, because I'm like, is someone out to get me? Like, this is, I hadn't even let like people know that this was my backup account. And I hadn't officially posted anything on that Remote Collective account, and it just got suspended as well. So I appealed that right away. You shared it in your community, which I really appreciate. And like a lot of friends are sending us stories of the same thing, and it's a lot of women getting their accounts suspended. And then some people are like, use a VPN, do this, do that. And then yesterday, friends of a friends of friends know people like that actually work at Instagram. And so they gave us an email to, so I emailed someone who actually works at Instagram who can maybe look into it and escalate it so that it can be resolved. And then I made a new Instagram, which is Bond Brittany. And this is my backup account.
Go follow Bond Brittany. Go follow her backup account.
And for the daily downloads.
Of the revolution. And we're about to buy Instagram. Talked earlier on WhatsApp to Elon Musk, and we want to like get together and buy like Facebook and Instagram, and also maybe Google and Pornhub and OnlyFans and Toy Story. I'm just talking nonsense.
But something I've always thought is like, when you're doing something that is actually affecting people, like they're not going to randomly close someone's Instagram that's like doing nothing to be like changing things in the world. They're not even taking down Instagrams that are basically porn, but they're taking down people's Instagrams that are actually changing the narrative of how the world could be, you know? And I find that really interesting. And I had someone tell me one time, like you're doing something right if people are like trying to make you stop, basically, especially the Matrix is trying to make you stop. It's like, okay, you must be onto something because they're like, oh no, she's too powerful, or she's saying something we don't want people to hear. So let's like, I literally felt like someone was putting their hand over my mouth, like, don't talk anymore. And
how does it feel in your body?
It doesn't feel good. It like, the old me would use this as an opportunity to rage and get really upset and feel like a victim. I don't choose to buy into that narrative anymore, you know? And so I'm like, I'm not a victim. This is happening for a reason. It's always going to be a positive one, because that's what I choose in my reality.
Makes you even more famous.
Yes. I'm manifesting. It makes me even more famous. Or just that I reach the people I need to reach, you know? Like on Instagram right now, I opened it last night when we were at the beach. And, you know, I already have like almost 1,000 people following me on my Insta stories. And I think that's great, you know, like, and these are the 1,000 people who really care, and they're like really watching, and they want to see what's up, or people who are like into the drama of like, oh my God, what's she posting that she got suspended? But whatever it is, like, it's still a platform for me to share and to keep empowering people.
And that's why diversification, just like, you know, that's why I always paint.
You have 6 Instagrams?
So many colors. Yeah, no, yeah, that was my excitement back then. And now it's like 3 Instagrams, you know, and 2 YouTube channels, 2 podcasts and OnlyFans and like friends, like we are community, like the people who follow you, most of them follow also me, and we are a tribe. So if you keep saying, like, if you want to do face to face stories, take my Instagram. I'm here. We're a tribe. We're family. We're community. And this cannot be messed with. This fortress, this is the real power. This is the, not the illusion of power, this is the power of the illusion. And that's what they're afraid of. because it shows them that we're all these powerful creatures, mm-hmm. and people are so afraid to step in their power. So if other people do it, they're like, oh, what can we create the illusion of power? Censor him, disinherit him. Doesn't work. We're out here shining, and we're always.
That's a really beautiful point. That it's like making a point that we are doing it as a community.
It's the new Earth vibration. We're all around the world, and they want us to think that we're alone, but we're not. Mm-hmm. And the system is not a person; it's a system. And we find these loopholes everywhere, and we connect together. And positive energy is integrative, and we're coming together, and we're transforming the system. We're shifting in the new Earth.
Will you share about who you made? You gave me that example of the guy that got banned.
Yeah, like
I really like that.
Maybe I so feel you, like this must, you know, censorship is like the opposite of freedom, and freedom is like, it's like our birthright, you know. Mm-hmm. If someone is like trying to create the illusion to take that away from us, it's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, this is old world shit. Like, and then to like cheer you up or give you some relatability, I was telling you some stories, and one was about Graham Hancock, who is an archaeologist, and about all this like Atlanteans, Göbekli Tepe, that the pyramids are not built by Egyptians, and like all of the like ancient history, like our real history of the Anunnaki and all of this juicy stuff. And he gets so much hate by mainstream, and like he got banned to go into countries like Egypt. He's banned to fly to Egypt because he's revealing like our true history, and they're trying to create the illusion of power. You cannot come in here anymore. But he stepped in his powers, and he's like, fuck you bitches, I'm on the Joe Rogan Experience. I reach millions and millions of people. I now have archetypes of ancient, I don't know the name, but he's on Netflix, and it's like ranking really well, where he shows all the evidence of more and more of our record of our true history, and has like allies and friends who can travel to Egypt and these countries, and like all the mainstream archaeologists they're like trying to, you know, they're so rigid in their blah, and they want to stay in their illusion of power, so they're like, he's a pseudoscientist, and on like, you know, in Joe Rogan in the podcast, like many hours in, when they're like, hi, they're like, he's like really vulnerable, and how much it affects him, that like on Wikipedia, the first sentence is like, the pseudoscientist, Graham Hancock, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I'm doing my best, and I'm like revealing the truth. And then he named this beautiful metaphor that like the system is there as this system to, you know, at the end, like we always come back to thanking the system, because we're always finding into the light, into all that is transforming everything, because we like everything is consciousness, and the system is there in this beautiful way to slow it down so we can explore more. And we always have the power within us. So we're all around the world following our excitement, finding these loopholes. So I can get through here and to Netflix and there, and power to the people, reach everyone, connect everything. And this is how we beautifully storytelling transform the system, by finding all these loopholes, how to live outside the matrix, how to step in your power, and everyone brings their part of the puzzle, and together we unite and tell this beautiful story. So it's so beautiful how we're all doing that together, because the system wants to think that you're alone, that you come back in the system, live in the matrix and be a slave. But that's like an illusion. And if you start to see through that, stepping in your power, owning your unique puzzle piece, your human design, your life theme, however you want to call it, and unite synchronistically with your tribe, we're all coming together and shifting collectively in the new Earth. Can I get a hello there?
That was amazing.
And you are so in your power, and no one can stop you. And we are a tribe. We all got you back. I got so many DMs. Everyone got you back. Your latest podcast, you know, it makes you even more famous. This podcast is like your most viewed podcast ever. And my story views are so up. Pew, pew, pew,
pew, pew. I liked what you said about that the system isn't an actual person. Mm-hmm. It's not, doesn't even have like emotions. It's just a structure that we put in place. And in the time that it was put in place, it was actually a really healthy thing. because it was like just helping keep humanity together in the time that it needed. But now we've outgrown it,
mm-hmm.
and we're all coming to a vibration where we can have our own source connection again, which we've always had, but we forgot. And so this is why religion and like mainstream governments and political systems, we don't need them anymore in the same way that they were set up, but they want to hold on to power. And this is going in, now it's also corporations. So like corporations, governments, religions, they're all like, wah! The last remnants of trying to hold on to this control. And what they're really trying to hold on to control is our connection to our own source. And so like for people like me, where the main thing I'm preaching online, you know, if I'm like preaching something and teaching people, is you are so powerful. You have your own source connection. Here's some tools to connect to your source. And even sexuality is a really beautiful tool that we can use to connect to our source connection, our higher self, if we use it in a way that's joyful and sacred, right? And they're like,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, and it's at this point that, as you said, like the system was there to, you know, but now it's like there are these legislations, rules in place, and everyone looks at each other like, oh yeah, this is the rule. And even people working there in Germany, they're like, I don't know, this is the rule. And they even know how dumb it is. And everyone's like, yeah, this is the rule. And everyone, yeah, but it doesn't fucking make sense. And that's why I love
it. Not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore. And I mean, but why it made sense? Because we built a system based on fear, based on the illusion of power. So it was like reflecting that. But now we're like waking up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if you still want to buy in that fear shit, then the system does make sense, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because like, what do? I don't have a higher self. So I need an order. I need someone in line. I need to fall in line. So I do this decree and then I get this job. And here's the order. And everything wants to pull me in. But this is like, oh, we have a higher self. All this stuff. So that's why I love Thailand, because here so many things, there are no rules and they're just like doing a Thai style.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, sometimes it's like, like a lot flow state, but at the end I love it, and because
we would rather have the flow state, like maybe doesn't work sometimes,
being
works
on the phone for hours, yes, because there's this rule and I need this thing and no one, and
trying
it's
to
just
connect the internet,
yeah. And can I just pay here? No, there's this procedure and this is the rule. I can, and here just like, yeah, pay me there, like here, just like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so nice.
Yeah, and I want to say to people listening, especially women, like I've had a lot of women reach out to me saying that they're very upset at like the patriarchy, like, you know, just in general, just like upset that I've been trying to, like someone tried to silence me in this way of taking down my Instagram. And what I want to say to you is like, yes, feel the feelings, let them go through your body, and then transform them into something really positive. Like the reason why people love following me on Instagram is because I am a beacon of light of someone who is being completely themselves, following my power, just being so real. And if you're wanting to like join this cause, then I invite you and inspire you and activate you to get on social media and be your real self and whatever version of the beautiful puzzle piece you are, and share more so that I don't need to be doing it. Like, it's not that I want to be like super famous and I'm the one everyone looks at. Like, I want everyone to be connected to their higher selves and everyone sharing. And I'm like on Instagram because I'm so inspired and activated by all of my friends who are sharing amazing stuff, their downloads, you know, them like being in their power and what they're doing.
It's not about the messenger, it's about the message.
Mm-hmm.
And we are symbols, we are role models, we are singing each other home. So keep singing your song. We're all doing storytelling. It's history, it's her story. So shine your story, and we're all singing each other home in this beautiful way, because there's nothing to do, there's nowhere to be. So let's all be ourselves and let everything find us, because it's all so perfect, the flow. The only thing that's in the way is us, and we don't have to be in the way anymore. It's safe. It's safe to shine.
Yeah, and so many people look at us and they're like, okay, well, it's good for you guys to share on social media because you have it like mostly figured out. You know, like we've gone through a lot of the shadow work and like found who we are and stuff. But so many people are in the middle of figuring out who they are and working through their negative belief systems. And it's so much more relatable. Like, so basically they're, what if someone who wants to share on social media, but they're like, I still have some negative beliefs. I'm judging myself. Like, they're judging themselves because they're like, I don't have it figured out yet. So I want to wait until I have it figured out to share. And I want to tell you that it's so beautiful to share in the process, because there are so many people who are at the exact same growth timeline as you. And they're like so inspired if you share, because then they don't feel alone. And then you can work together with each other and like activate each other to keep going in your growth. And you can say on there, hey, I don't have it figured out. I just want to share, like, this is where I'm at right now. And this is my, what I'm learning about myself. And this is the tools I'm using to connect to my higher self. And like, the more of us that do this, the more we just keep activating each other. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's like, that's where the real power is. Because yes, they can like silence me, but they can't silence everyone at once.
And the beautiful paradox is, again, the more vulnerable you share, the more you reach, the more it resonates. Mm-hmm. Like, don't have this illusion of waiting until you have figured it out. Like, your latest podcast was sharing something so vulnerable that is happening in the now. And what happened? It's your most success, like your most viewed podcast ever. So whoever's listening, wherever you are on the journey, share it vulnerably, and also know the journey will never stop. So either you start sharing it or you don't, and we all want creative expression. So follow mm-hmm. your excitement. Doesn't need to be social media, whatever, with a friend, with your community, in a school, in your church, in whatever, with your dogs. So go and shine, take physical action on your excitement. Always comes back to the formula, like really studying the formula on how to follow your excitement, because the frequency of your individual excitement is who you are, moment to moment. Let's go. Baby, thanks for sharing. This was beautiful.
Yeah, I wanted to share about it. And then at the same time, I was like, what do I even say? Like, it's just so fucked up that it's mm-hmm. like...
Baby, and I feel you. But, you know, we're in tribe, we're family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my story views are higher than ever. So I keep sharing about you.
Do you think that's because my Instagram got suspended?
It's all connected, you know, and it's all perfectly balanced. And it's all working out for us. Like, it's all our creations. And mostly in the moment, our physical mind doesn't know the reason yet why we're suspended, but we just keep staying in the trust. Because mm-hmm. when we look back, and so often I was allowed to access template reality and saw the perfect synchronicity of everything, and it's just all so perfect. And when you just trust, then you're not in the way anymore, and then you can actually get the beautiful manifestations out of what is happening right now.
Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful that you say that, because I was thinking, something I always say to myself is, how is this happening for me? You know, because when I look back on situations, I'm like, oh, that's how that played out. Mm. Oh, that's so cool. And then I ended up meeting this person. My higher self just gave me a download of a time where something very similar happened to me, where I was kind of just like, what the fuck do I do now? And I would love to share the story.
Yeah, please.
So when I was getting divorced and leaving my religion, I was 24. I was living in Salt Lake City, which is like, who the fuck lives in Salt Lake City? Nothing against Salt Lake, but it's just not my vibration.
It's perfect for snowboarding.
It's great for snowboarding, not for living. It was like Jehovah's Witnesses was the religion I was leaving. And then like all of Utah is dominated by Mormons, which is a very similar type of religion, but I feel like even more suppressed in some ways. Anyways, I was following my joy, as I always do. And this is like in 2014, right? So Instagram was still pretty new in my area. And I got this download. I love bicycling. I ended up selling my car, bicycling to work. I would even like bicycle with my dog running alongside me, and she'd wait at every intersection and we'd bicycle to work together because I brought her into my law firm. And I remember thinking, I want to make new community of people, and I want to do it around things I love. I've always known you meet people doing the things you love. So I started a bicycle crew in Salt Lake City, and I just made an Instagram account that's like SLC Salt Lake City Bike Crew, and a Facebook page. And I just put it out there. And this is when hashtags were like really working, you know, like now they're just kind of like done, I feel like, for the most part. But like back then, like people really tapped on hashtags to like find people and to look at things. And so I used that to my benefit, and I invited everyone in the community to come down, and we met at like a central location. And then it was a bike It was a bicycle ride once a month around our main capital city, like the main area, and we would do random acts of kindness. So in the beginning, I got like a sponsorship where we got a ton of roses and flowers donated. And then I would have like people have cards and we would write like really empowering things like, you know, just know that you're so powerful and like someone is like watching out for you and you just basically step into your power. Like we would write all these like really empowering messages and then we would sign like find us on Instagram, like SLC, hashtag SLC bike crew or something. And we would just hand them out to people. We'd put them on cars. We would take videos and photos. A lot of my friends were photographers. And so we like really kind of did this whole campaign once a month. And it was so much fun. Mm. And then one day my bicycle gets stolen. Like I go to the grocery store and lock my bike outside and I come out and it's just gone. And I'm like, okay. So then we had the next bike like ride coming up and I just shared. So the Instagram got really like popular in our city and people were really following the story. And so suddenly I posted on there. I was like, hey, you guys, I don't know what to do. I have a bike crew. Like we would have like 20 to 30 people come every time. And it was a lot of times new people. It ended up being like a crew of like 10 or 15 of us. And then there would be like 15 to 20 new people. And I just said to everyone, I was like, I don't have a bicycle and like my bicycle got stolen. And then it like got on the local news. Like people were like, the girl who started a bike crew doesn't have a bicycle. And we're like, you know, and I was still responding like so positively. And I was just like, I don't know. But then people were asking me, so what are you doing? Like, what is this bike crew? Why are you doing it? And I was like, I just want to spread kindness into the world. You know, like I want to instigate people by random acts of joy. And so a lot more people started coming to the bike crews and like someone let me borrow a bicycle. We had just started a bike share program in the city and a friend of mine like started it. So he like was sponsoring us a lot more. And we ended up getting the city to sponsor us by giving us gift cards for local businesses that were going out of business and needed help. And so we started handing out gift cards to people. And then one day I get a phone call and the police are like, we found your bicycle. You need to come right now. And I'm like, what? And then I was like I was in my law firm, like everyone in my law firm were friends. And so they're like, you found your bike. And so I went down and it was like a homeless person, this woman who was on drugs, like she had stolen my bicycle and it still had my, like my big lock on it. So I had my key and I just went up and like unlocked it. Cause she had like taken the bike rack apart to take it. So it still had my bike lock on it. And she was like, I don't know. I just found it, you know? And the police were like wanting to press charges against her. And I was just told them, no, don't do that. Like she's got her own problems, whatever. And then like the police like took a bunch of photos with me and they put it in the local paper. Like she found her bicycle and like the whole city was in on it together. And I was just like really surprised at how much it activated a lot of people because they're like, wow, she's trying to do something so good. And then like her bicycle gets stolen. Like what the fuck? And I just kept responding like really calmly and positively, like it'll work out. You know, I also really love this bicycle. So anyways, I got it back. And then from then on out, like the bike crews got even bigger because of all of this media attention and like community attention. It was a funny story too. Mm-hmm. I was the bike crew leader without a bike.
Yeah, and at moments you didn't know like why my bike was stolen and you maybe even were like sad or frustrated.
Of but
course. Afterwards you're like, wow, this triggered so much amazing things. Thanks God my bicycle was stolen. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like when you know that moving forward, you can stay in the trust. Mm-hmm. And then like one little story of mine. Brand new bicycle. First day I used a mountain bike. I had like a new excitement. I wanted to practice like wheelies. So I got a new bicycle. I double locked it in a park, like Mauer Park. Mm-hmm. Got stolen. And for one breath, I was like, oh. And then I'm like, knowing how the universe works, I'm like, stay calm, Ferdi. The universe took something from you. You get an even better gift. You don't know what it is yet. And then I walked the entire way back home. Staying in the state, like really, like not faking it, like staying it, even called my mom talking about this. And then I still don't know precisely what it was, but I see the two timelines, like it's happening for a reason. I might even just know, quote unquote, at the end when I have my life review, that's why it happened. But I can be like frustrated and create this reality, or I'm in the trust. And then I know what you put out is what you get back. Mm-hmm. And like 1 week later, like such a cool bamboo a mountain bike company wanted to do a cooperation with me. Like, things like that were popping up, like cool things. So I remember I went home and I made a podcast about it. So it was like, you know, so even if you don't know, or maybe you won't know, but just being in the trust that eventually you will know, and everything happens for a reason and for you, mm-hmm. and then moving forward, like now, whatever happens, you know, taking a deep breath, that's mm-hmm. always the first thing. And then having these mantras, everything is happening for me, everything is my own creation, everything is working out best case scenario. Mm-hmm. My physical mind might not know now what's happening, but if I, and that's part of the formula, if I stay in a positive state, I can get the positive manifestations of what's happening.
Mm-hmm. And I still know deep down that my Instagram's going to be restored. Like,
of course. And it's like, you are, that's what I told you. You are not your Instagram. Yeah. You are this indestructible soul who is here and can paint beautiful colors in whatever way, on whatever social platforms. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you are here and no one can take anything away from you. That's like the illusion of power. That's what they want you to think, mm-hmm. but they can't. Mm-hmm. And even if like your new Instagram is now blowing up, it's like you are the power. It's like not this account. It's like yeah. the person behind it. It's you.
And I'm totally not attached to getting my old Instagram back. Like whatever is meant to be is what will happen, you know?
And baby, and also like, I feel you, you know, it's like also nice to like grieve that and talk about it and create space. And that's mm-hmm. why I'm like always here telling you, like, I got your back.
Thank you, baby.
We are a tribe now. We're family, you know, and all the people who are writing us, like, they're all like, how can we help? You know, and they mm-hmm. do like, we're and this like makes us closer. This us makes us even more powerful. We get mm-hmm. even closer together. So if you're listening and you know people at Instagram, or you have like help that could help, reach out to us. Highly yeah. appreciate it.
Yeah, and it also is like inspiring me. Like, I know I'm going to open my Instagram. There's a part of me that wants to wait for Coco and Lena to come.
Your OnlyFans, you mean?
Sorry, yeah, my OnlyFans. Like, we have friends who are amazing at OnlyFans and have a very successful business at it, and they're coming to the island at the end of October. And so there's part of me that wants to do it, because it's also like amazing to do it in a group of powerful women. And also this is like, okay, well, if I keep getting censored on Instagram for reasons unknown, because I'm not actually sharing anything explicit, like sexually, then maybe an Instagram doesn't deserve my transmission. Maybe I just move my social media main channel to OnlyFans and I just like share, yes, sexuality stuff, but like just life updates also, you know?
That's what I use mine already. Like nice empowering naked pictures of me also being funny and creative. Mm-hmm. That get created when we're just like in the moment vibing, and then I write
these putting the star projector on your penis.
Exactly. Check it out on my OnlyFans, link in bio. And then writing these powerful quotes of mm-hmm. like even more powerful than I share on Instagram, you know. Mm-hmm. All right, baby.
Yeah,
I'm really done.
We're like sliding yeah. into the ground.
This was amazing. I yeah, love how thanks. You told Sergey like we're just like continue to 10 minutes, and I was like 44 minutes.
44 minutes longer?
Yeah.
Wow.
Baby, you like had a lot of amazing things to share. Thanks for sharing. This was amazing.
Thank you, baby.
All right. What are we up to now?
Sergey's going to share us stuff about human design. About ooh, your birthday.
Just life is so life is a movie.
I'm so excited to hear. It's like really.
Yeah, cool, I'm going to record it too.
Yeah.
But first, you get a break of us and enjoy this Basha nugget. 3, 2, 1. Pew, pew, pew. Thanks for listening. Until next time. You want to know what was my favorite thing was about this podcast?
What?
That you over China was flashing all the time. And maybe it was so hard, you know? I looked at it a lot. It was really activating.
Was it like giving you some power?
Yeah, baby. It's like, this is what gives everything meaning, you know? Okay, peace out. Pew,
pew. So the idea of getting in this hypnotic journey.
Yes.
With the drums.
Yes.
Is that's kind of basic of what we're doing today. There's nothing special that they were doing different.
Well, only in the sense that they understood specifically uh-huh. that they had to match the person's heartbeat first.
Yes.
So that there would mm-hmm. be a synchronization, and then they would start to slow the drum beat down very slowly, very imperceptibly almost, mm-hmm. until the person fell into the hypnotic state by their heart following the drum beat mm-hmm. once they were entrained to match its frequency.
So that's a two-way conjunction.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a dialogue of rhythms, of vibrations.
And beautiful. And through that soothed state brings on the hypnotic journey.
Yes.
Where, so our idea of hypnosis is akin to theirs, or is there it's some similar. Specific structures that might be different, that might be a big leverage similar. Difference?
They would then mm-hmm. create certain kinds of information using certain vibrational words and tones, maybe even sometimes in song, to impart the information. But mostly what they would do would be to tell story, because they understood that story structure is embedded in your psyche. Mm-hmm. And therefore, by telling information in the form of a story, it is more easily retained, especially from the hypnotic state. It can actually unlock you from one perspective of reality into a completely different perspective of reality if done with artistry, which they did.
Beautiful.
So in other words, they allowed through story and the drum beats and the hypnotic state, perhaps in teaching, let's say, for example, someone about the idea of sailing ships, you would become the sail. You would become the mast. You would experience the wind in the hypnotic state. By the time you came out of it, you would innately in your body understand exactly what to do to operate a sailing ship, because you would have been one in your experience in the way they induced the story through your story structure psyche. You would have been on a voyage as a sailing ship, not only as a sailor, but as the ship, as the wind, as the sea, as the gulls, as the entire experience. It would be literally in your bones by the time you came out of it.
Wow, that is deep.
It is.
And that's
part... didn't necessarily happen in one session.
Yes.
Don't misunderstand.
Okay.
But the artistry was to entrain in a way that it was simply infused within the cells of the person in a very, very natural way, so that they just really, as you would say, got it.
Beautiful.
It became them, they became it.
Yes, totally entrained.
Yeah.
And was this the main, like a main center point of Atlantean education?
Well, there were several, but it was done in the main capital quite often. And there were several temples that in which this was done, or systems or places of education.